I'd like you to turn now with me to the Word of the Lord and to the Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, and before we consider the Lord's Word for our hearts this morning, let us unite just now once again in prayer. Let us all pray. O Lord and gracious God, we bless Thee that in the Lord Jesus Christ we have one who remembers us in prayer. We do rejoice that we're able to go to Him, bring all our burdens and our cares unto Him, and leave them there because He is the great burden bearer. Eternal Father, I pray that Thou would now come by Thy Spirit, enable us, Lord, to preach Thy truth. And help us, Lord, to preach the Word. And Lord, in so doing, help us to preach Christ and to make much of His precious blood. Lord, come and abide with us now. And may we hear the still small voice of the Lord. For we ask all these things in His name and for His eternal glory. Amen. Our text for this morning is that verse 21 of Luke chapter 3. In verse 21 we read, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened." The Lord Jesus Christ was a true man of prayer. No one prayed as Christ prayed. No one has prayed as often as Christ has prayed. No one has prayed as sincerely as Jesus Christ has prayed, because His was a life of prayer. As the great high priest, He prayed. As the great preacher, He prayed. As the great physician, He prayed. As the great missionary, He prayed. He prayed as the great miracle worker. He prayed as the great friend and shepherd of our souls. Yes, His was a life of prayer. And here in this portion of Scripture we've read this morning, we find that He prays at Jordan. He also prayed in Galilee. He prayed in Capernaum. He prayed in Jerusalem. He prayed in Gethsemane and He prayed on Golgotha. His was a life of prayer. He prayed in the early morning. He prayed in the daytime. He prayed through the night. Because His was a life of prayer. The Lord Jesus prayed in homes. He prayed on mountains. He prayed in fields. He prayed in the secret places because His was a life of prayer. He prayed for the sick. He prayed for the sorrowing. And He prayed for those who suffered because His was a life of prayer. And since the life of Christ was a life of prayer, this shows us also that He had a love for prayer. Some people pray because they have to. Some people pray because they feel it is their duty. I passed the church this morning, and on the wayside pulpit it had two words, "Try praying." In other words, when everything else has failed, Then, as a last resort, try praying. The Lord Jesus Christ made prayer His delight. Why then did the Savior love to pray? Because when He was praying, He was in communion with His Heavenly Father. He, of course, lived a life upon earth in communion with His Heavenly Father. But this was especially true when He prayed, as John 17 verse 1 tells us. And there the Father and the Son were communing through prayer. So, dear Christian, if we want to know what it is to enjoy fellowship and communion with God, then we must have a love for prayer. If we just pray because it's our duty, if we just pray because we have to, then we will never know a life of communion and fellowship with God. Never. But the Lord Jesus did. The Lord Jesus had a life of prayer. The Lord Jesus loved to pray. And the Lord Jesus also lives to pray. Paul has told us in Hebrews 7 verse 25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He lives to pray, as well as loving to pray, and as well as having a life of prayer. Jesus Christ lives to pray. We see here then in this verse that Jesus Christ died to save us. But we praise His name that He lives to pray for us. He'll be praying for us when others have forgotten to pray. He'll be praying for us when others have given up praying. He'll be praying for us when others have lost the desire to pray. And we praise God when we are weak and too ill to pray. Jesus Christ will still be remembering us in prayer. This we know because He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And here we have the Lord Jesus at the River Jordan, and at His baptism, and we read the words, Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. I want us this morning, with the Lord's help, just to consider this particular aspect of the Lord's life of prayer. And my, how we can learn a great deal from the Lord's life of prayer. We may have books at home in our library and on our shelves about prayer. But you could do no better than look at the life of Christ, because His was a life of prayer. And first of all, we notice here in this verse the place where He prayed. Our text reads, Jesus also being baptized and praying. He is at the Jordan River, and there He prays at His baptism. The Jordan was the Lord's place of baptism. The Lord Jesus would not be involved in such a solemn event without praying. Christ praying at His baptism is the first of the examples of Christ engaging in prayer regarding major situations and events in His earthly ministry. Not only did He pray regarding His baptism, but you will find that Scripture records for us that He prayed all night. He prayed all night. before he chose his 12 disciples, Luke 6, verses 12 and 13. On the Mount of Transfiguration, where he was glorified before his disciples, and he saw those two glorified saints, you will gather whenever you read Luke 9, verse 29, that the Lord prayed on that mount before he was transfigured before the disciples. He also prayed before he wrought some of his great miracles. Take, for example, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Before he called Lazarus forth, he prayed. He prayed in the garden before his crucifixion. And he prayed on the cross while he suffered there. And by these examples, the Lord teaches us of the importance of prayer before we engage in any major event, whether in church or whether at home in our private life. You're changing your job, you're going to a new vocation. You need to pray about it. Before you go on a journey, you need to pray about it. Before there's some special service in church, there needs to be prayer about it. The Lord Jesus was being baptized, and while he was being baptized, he was praying. Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple. Nehemiah prayed before he commenced building the walls around Jerusalem. Hezekiah prayed to mark the restoration of the worship of Jehovah. And so as the Savior solemnized and sanctified his baptism with prayer, dear Christian, let us not fail to do the same with our special meetings and our services. You have a children's mission starting this week. You need to prepare the ground well with prayer. The Lord sets us the example. Not only was it the place of baptism, but for the Lord Jesus, it was the place of beginning. For you see, the baptism of Christ marked the beginning of his public ministry. This, of course, would not have been the first time the Savior prayed. We are told there in the verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. 30 years. And I have no doubt that 30 years of the Savior was spent in prayer. But here we have the recording of the Lord Jesus at the beginning of his public ministry. And how does he begin? He begins with prayer. You see, his was a life of prayer. He had a love for prayer. He set such this example. And at the beginning of his ministry, he begins with prayer. A ministry that would include preaching and teaching. So he needed to pray. A ministry that would include miracles and missions. So he needed to pray. A ministry that would include helping the helpless, bringing hope to the hopeless, and healing the brokenhearted. That was his ministry. So he needed to pray. The Lord Jesus recognized that. A ministry that would focus on the salvation of souls. Therefore, he needed to pray. How could any of us venture forth and begin a work of God and work for God without seeking the Lord's face in prayer? And if the Lord of glory began his ministry with prayer, how much more do we need to give attention to the business of praying? We would need to pray for guidance and grace. We need to pray for strength when we're ready to give up. We need to pray for determination when we're ready to faint. We need to pray for deliverance from temptation and the wicked devices of the evil one. We would need to pray for success in the work of the Lord. Thus, like the Savior, every work that we begin and do or are involved in for the kingdom, we need to pray about it. Then I noticed that it was the place of blessing. We're told what happened after the Savior prayed and was baptized. Verse 22 tells us the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So it was a place of blessing. This time of prayer that the Lord had at Jordan, the Lord blessed it. God the Father blessed it. What happened first of all? The heaven opened. The Spirit of God descended. And God spoke. My, if that happened here, if that happened in any of our churches, we would be talking about it for months. We would be talking about the great time of blessing we had when God opened the windows of heaven and the Spirit of God descended in power and many heard the very voice of God. Well, that's what happened in Jordan. And why did it happen? Because Christ was in prayer. Surely that ought to encourage us. It ought to encourage us that where we pray, we can expect the blessing. When the Lord wrestled with Jacob all night, and it wasn't Jacob wrestling with God, it was God wrestling with Jacob until the Lord touched his thigh and broke him. And when the Lord broke him, the wrestling was over. There was no more resistance. Instead, we read that Jacob laid hold on God. And as he laid hold on God, he asked God to bless him. "Not until thou bless me will I let thee go." Jacob was hanging on to God. And then we read these words, "The Lord blessed him there." You see, God will bless where there is prayer. There's no shortcut to blessing. There's no magic formula for blessing. The answer is prayer and prayer and prayer and more prayer. Whenever the apostles gathered and others gathered in the upper room, that place of prayer became the place of blessing. You turn with me to the Psalms and to Psalm 67. And there in Psalm 67, we have the psalmist and he begins the psalm by asking for the Lord to bless him. Psalm 67 verse 1, "God be merciful unto me and bless us." That was the request. He prayed for blessing. We see that. "God be merciful unto us and bless us." Now go to verse 6. "Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us." Verse 7, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. See? God is waiting for us to ask. He's waiting for us to ask for blessing. God is waiting to bless us. But how can we know blessing? It must be by and through prayer. The Savior teaches us. There at his baptism, and he was praying, the heaven was opened. Oh, that God would come and open the heavens for us, but it'll not happen unless we pray. That's it. We've noticed the place of his praying. Now we consider the practice of his praying. Once again, the words are, Jesus also being baptized and praying. This shows us that the praying of Christ at his baptism was done, first of all, silently. This was a silent prayer of Christ. How do we know? Look at the words again. Jesus also being baptized and praying. And so it was while he was being baptized that he prayed. How else may he have prayed as he was immersed in the waters of Jordan? As he was immersed in those waters, we're told he prayed. He must have prayed silently. How else could he have prayed? He couldn't have prayed audibly while he was immersed in the water. He prayed silently. And dear Christian, there are those times when you and I know that we're unable to pray audibly. But praise God, we can pray silently. And this teaches us that silent prayers are acceptable with God. Or else the Savior would not have engaged his heart in silent praying. Isn't that what it shows us? The Lord Jesus being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And that teaches us that silent prayer is acceptable with God. Yes, we would rather be amongst God's people and crying out to God audibly and pouring out our hearts to the Lord, but there are those times we're unable to do that. But we can still pray. We can pray silently. That's how Hannah prayed, wasn't it? When she prayed that the Lord would bless her with a son. And in 1 Samuel 1 and verses 10, 12 and 13, you read there about Hannah praying, and old Eli thought she was drunk. He could see her lips move, but he couldn't hear any words. She was praying silently. And it proves to us that silent prayer is acceptable with God because God heard the silent prayers of Hannah. And we praise the Lord that while those standing around us can't hear us pray when we pray silently, God can hear. For his ear is ever open to the cry, even to the whisper, even to the silent cry of his people. We ought to take this as an encouragement. Something that will lead us to deeper, sweeter fellowship with God. For you see, we can be walking about, we can be walking down the road and praying. We can go about our daily business and still lift our hearts to the Lord in prayer. We can be in the company of 100 people and still pray, as the Savior did, silently. But the Lord God Almighty heard the silent prayer of His dear Son. So He'll hear our prayers. You recall Nehemiah. When Nehemiah heard about the state of Jerusalem, he wanted to get leave from Artaxerxes, the king, that he might go and help rebuild the city. And he appeared before King Artaxerxes. And we read in Nehemiah 2 and verse 4, "Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou request?" Now there he is, he's standing right in front of the king. And the king says to him, "For what dost thou make request?" He hadn't time to run away to his closet. He hadn't time to go to some other place to pray. No, he's standing before the king. And we read then, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." It was a silent prayer. "So I prayed to the God of heaven." And you know what? Nehemiah found favor with the king. God had heard his silent prayer and gave him favor with the king. And so said, this ought to encourage us to be much in prayer. Not just on a Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. Not just in the prayer meetings before the services. No. Oh dear, no, we can be in communion with God and be in touch with heaven all day. All day. By just cultivating the habit of lifting our hearts to the Lord wherever we are. Whatever we're doing. Just going about our daily business in communion with the Lord. Sure, you couldn't beat that. I want you to notice something else. He prayed secretly there at his baptism. For why would we not want to know, like to know, what the Savior was praying about? But we're not told. It's a secret. We're just told, and being baptized and praying. What did he pray about? What did he say to his heavenly Father? We don't know. It's secret. It's kept from us. In other words, what the Lord Jesus said that day in Jordan at his baptism was only for the ears of his heavenly Father. Was not for us to know. Not for John the Baptist to know. Not for anybody else to know. Only for his heavenly Father to know. Secret. And like our dear Master, dear Christian, you know. You know that there are those matters that you need to pray about and indeed have been praying about. But they're too private and they're too personal for others to know anything about. You can come to the Wednesday night prayer meeting and you can pray about things and you can ask others to remember your particular problem in prayer. You want others to share your burden and you rejoice in that. But then there are those things that are kept secret. Things that you would never dream of speaking about in the public place of prayer. Things that you would never even ask others to pray about because they're too personal. And those things you keep to yourself. Well, here is something again that we see here in the praying of the Lord Jesus. His prayer was silent, but the Father heard him. His prayer was secret. Nobody knows anything about, but the Father heard him. And dear Christian, when you're alone, and you're alone in your bedroom, or you're alone there in the kitchen, or you're alone there in the living room, and everybody else has gone, and you lift your heart to the Lord, and you pray about those things that nobody knows anything about, God is listening. The Lord's listening. You can be sure of this. There's one person who's listening. And that's the dear Savior. And he'll listen to your secret prayers. He'll listen to those personal matters that's only for his ears. You know, the Savior recognized that. That there will be those things that we have to keep to ourselves that we can only share with him. Because in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and verse 6 he says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." See, the Lord understands. The Lord knows. There are those things that we cannot pray about publicly. We can go into our closet and shut the door, and what the Father seeth in secret. He sees and he hears those prayers. He prayed silently and he prayed secretly, and surely we must gather from this that he prayed simply. It must have been a simple prayer under the circumstances. Being baptized, he prayed. I say simple in contrast to the occasion when the Lord Jesus prayed all night. It wasn't a prayer like that. It wasn't a prayer like the prayers that he offered in Gethsemane, where we read he sweated great drops of blood falling down to the ground. It wasn't a prayer time like that, where he agonized for 3 hours. No, he's just going through the waters of baptism, and he lifts his heart to his Father, and he prays silently, and he prays secretly, and he prays simply. This would have been a simple prayer. And you know, there will be those times when, like Jacob, we must agonize in prayer. There will be those times when we'd be called upon to pray for hours. There will be those times when we'll pray with tears streaming down our cheeks. There will be those times when we will pray like Daniel, who persevered in prayer, or like Elijah when he prevailed in prayer. But there will be other times when it will just be a simple prayer like Nehemiah's. So I prayed to the God of heaven. And the point is this. The Savior's prayer was silent. It was secret. It was simple. And what happened? The heavens opened. And what an encouragement this ought to be for any today who perhaps are not in the Christian pathway very long. And as it were, you haven't learned the art of prayer. And you go to a prayer meeting and you hear somebody praying who's been on the Christian pathway for a long time and you say, oh, I could never pray like that. The Lord doesn't expect you to pray like that. The Lord's not looking for you to pray like that. Follow the Savior's example. His was a simple prayer. And if all you can say is, Lord, I thank Thee for saving my soul, God will hear that prayer and bless you for it. Simple. You recall when Elijah stood there on Mount Carmel after he had repaired the altar. And he called down fire from heaven. You can count the words. There's about 60 words. In our authorized translation that made up the prayer of Elijah. Simple prayer. Take heart, believer. We can pray using simple language. And prayer using simple language can open the heavens. Can. Oh, we can learn from Christ. In the final place, we have the product of His praying. As we have noticed, the Lord praying produced great and glorious results. Verse 22, verse 21, the heaven was opened, the Holy Ghost descended, and a voice came from heaven. That's what His praying produced. First of all, there was the commotion in the heavens. The Savior had only just finished praying when the heaven was opened. And so heaven responded to the praying of Christ. And the Lord has promised to open to us the heavens also. That's the best part. You see, whenever we come to pray and ask the Lord to open the windows of heaven, we're asking for something that the Lord has promised He would do for us. He has told us, I will open to you the windows of heaven. Isn't that what He said in Malachi 3:10? Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Prove me, put me to the test. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. There it is. So the Lord is saying, come, come to the throne of grace and prove me. Come to the mercy seat and prove me. If you come and pray and seek my face, I will open to you the windows of heaven. Sure, you couldn't get anything better than that. I'll open to you the windows of heaven. I'll do it. If you only ask. If you only ask. We can come to the Lord, lift up our voices to God and cry out, oh, that Thou wouldst rend the heavens, that Thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at Thy presence. Let's make that our prayer. There was the commotion in the heavens. There was the coming of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit upon Christ represents divine power coming upon Him. And it came right after He prayed is very significant. After He prayed at His baptism, we are told the Holy Ghost descended upon Him. Prayer and the Holy Spirit coming upon Christians, the two go together. You'll not know anything about the power of God in your life if you don't pray. You'll not know anything about the fullness of the Spirit in your life if you don't pray. You'll not know what it is to be full of the Holy Ghost if you don't pray. The Lord Jesus prayed and the Holy Ghost fell. That's not what we need. I'm convinced of that. In the town of Port Hope, we have visited the town with flyers and leaflets 5 times. Not one response. Not one. We had a radio ministry for 2.5-3 years. Not one response. I often thought to myself there in the middle of the winter, and I hate the winters in Canada, when it's minus 15, minus 20, minus 25 degrees, and there you are in the house of God, and you're looking at the door, keeping your eye on the door and see if there's any visitors coming in. You think to yourself, who's going to leave a warm house and come into the house of God on a night like that? Nobody. I wouldn't do it. And many of us here would do it. Nice warm house. You've just had a good meal. Who would think about going out to church when it's minus 25 degrees and you have no interest in the things of God? Nobody's going to come, but they will come if the Spirit of God moves. And there's the answer. There's the answer, believer. We need to see a move of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will not move amongst us if we don't pray. It's as simple as that. The apostles were filled of the Holy Ghost and they spake the word with power. Power. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we need? We need the power. My, we tend to go about in the Christian life, we're just living out an existence. It's not right. It's just an existence. But oh, what would it be to be full of the Holy Ghost and to blaze a trail for Jesus Christ? Be a firebrand for God. See things done. We need the fullness of the Spirit of God. Because the charismatics have so distorted the doctrine of the fullness of the Spirit of God, many Christians tend to shy away from it. Well, we ought not to shy away from it. Every Christian needs to be full of the Holy Ghost. Be ye not drunk with wine, Paul told the believers at Ephesus. Be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be full of the Holy Ghost. And when the Lord Jesus prayed in the way that he did, silently, secretly, simply, the Spirit of God fell. Dear Christian, do you not long to see the Holy Ghost come and break the power of canceled sin and set prisoners free? My last point. You have the commendation from the Heavenly Father. Notice whenever the Lord had just finished praying, the voice came from heaven. Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Something I find very interesting. Here's the Lord. He's just finished praying at his baptism, and God speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Two other occasions, we have the same words of commendation coming from the Father. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You can look at those references when you go home. In Luke chapter 9, verses 29 and 35. And again, John chapter 12 and verse 28. And each time the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," those words follow upon the Lord Jesus praying. The three times the Lord says, "This is my beloved Son, I am well pleased," the Lord Jesus was praying just before those words were uttered. That's not a coincidence. What does that tell us? It tells us that the Father is pleased when His children pray. It pleases Him. When was the last time you pleased the Father? Through prayer. Pleases Him because we glorify Him when we pray. It pleases Him because it shows we are dependent upon Him when we pray. It pleases Him because it shows that we acknowledge Him and we need Him. That glorifies God. We pray because we have needs and we have burdens, yes. That's why we pray. We bring our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But that which should be a priority above our burdens, above our cares, above our trials, and above our needs, that which should be a priority is that we pray because it pleases God. That's why we pray. Because it pleases God. That's when the Lord, the Father, said to Christ, after He had prayed, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let us please the Father. And be men and women and young people of prayer. Let us pray that God, the Holy Ghost, will come upon us in power. And God, the Holy Spirit, will visit the city of Belfast, my own home city, where I was born and brought up. In this land that we love so much, we need God to send His Spirit with power. Sweep many into the kingdom. But you know something? We have the answer. It's in our own hands. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious Lord and eternal Father, we do bless Thee and praise Thee that our dear Lord and Savior is a man of prayer. He lived to pray. He loves to pray. Oh God, we pray that we'll be like Him, more and more like the Savior. Lord, make us men and women of prayer. And oh God, send the Holy Ghost with power. How we need the Holy Spirit. How we need the Spirit of God to work. Work in our own lives. Work in this church. Lord, work in this city. Work in all our churches and send us a mighty revival. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.